previously on Three of Hearts. After the unwanted excitement of their travels, agents Vel and Spar arrive in the hidden prairie town of Clovenheart. Spar receives a mixed reception, as his family was excited to see him but disappointed he is there on business. The agents learn that one of the townsfolk, Kurt Whittlesby, has gone missing the same day that some of their crops turned to stone. With a lot on their plate, Vel and Spar rested up and recovered so they can start their investigation first thing in the morning. Yay! Alrighty, everyone, the sun rises in Clovenheart, your decks are shuffled, your health is back up, your drive is good, you wake up fresh, your skin is clear.
Our crops are stone.
Your crops are stone. And you wake up. How do you guys wake up? What's the situation? How do you guys move in your sleep?
I feel like Vel wakes up before Spar, definitely.
Yeah.
So what is Spar's situation when Vel wakes up?
Yeah, Spar's spooning him. Okay. He's just, like, snuggled. He's snuggled all the way in there, like, nose tucked into the crook of Vel's neck, like, knees tucked up behind Vel's knees, arm around the waist.
Vellum wakes up very comfortable, very warm, doesn't fully realize the situation because it's cozy and sleepy. Then does start to realize that this is not how he usually wakes up. He gets kind of, like, he does the thing where, like, he blinks a couple times real quick and, like, his whole body, like, tenses. And he's just like, this is different. He turns to, like, look behind him at Spar and he relaxes a little bit. He starts to try to extract himself from Spar.
Spar grumbles something that sounds it's just incomprehensible, but the tone is clearly not acceptable.
Oh.
And he holds on to Vel.
Vellum will stop and stay still and see if Spar starts to quiet down again, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, if you're not trying to escape, he's fine.
Okay. A few minutes go by.
I feel like Vellum should be able to do some kind of flip to extricate himself from Spar.
Maybe a sneaking?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like agility sneaking to get out of Spar's grasp.
I would also accept intelligence sneaking.
Okay.
If he's like looking all over and he's like, okay, if I Indiana Jones this pillow.
Yeah, okay. Intelligence sneaking. Okay. That's good. Otherwise it would have been like one flip.
Sorry guys, nothing's gonna happen in this podcast. It's just all snuggles the whole time.
I mean, snuggles are great. I do think he probably waits a little bit before he tries again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause also, like, as awkward as this may be when Spar wakes up, he doesn't want to wake up Spar and be a grumpy Spar on top of yesterday. So, All right. Okay. We got a Queen of Clubs, a Ace of Spades, and a Three of Hearts.
A crit! Okay, so that means that takes you up to 5 successes. So, do you want to counterflip something, or do you want to say that's enough? I'm gonna. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But Ela has to tell us how Vel gets out.
Oh no. okay. This. Let me know if this is too out of character seeming. But I think he's using his brain. You know, we rolled intelligence there, so he's like, okay, what is a way to get someone who is snuggling you to let go? And the answer to that is you gently pull away, you turn around, you give him a peck on the forehead, and then you get up.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that works. Spar like wakes up enough to like start to protest, but then, you know, whoever he's trying to keep with him is like, oh no, sweetie, it's time for me to get up now. And he knows that kiss on the forehead. Like, And so he snuggles into to the abandoned pillow.
Yep.
And he's gonna sleep for at least a few more hours.
Oh my god.
Excellent.
What did Phelim do now that he's up?
Vellum is going to get up and stretch.
We'll say it's like just after sunrise, so it's like 6:30.
Okay. He's probably going to look at the clothes that Jasper has given them. I know that Vel had gotten a couple things in Cindershore. I don't know if they how they made out through the boat attack, but if they're in good shape, he'll try to figure out what looks best together. But if they also got all muddy and dirty and everything, then he might try to rinse them in the sink and hang them up and get dressed and go downstairs and see if Jasper has any coffee.
So you guys are on the second floor of the manor out of three, and kind of to get downstairs, you have to walk through this hallway that has a table halfway through with one chair at it. The little vase with a plant, and it's the window facing it. And you actually find Jasper sitting at the chair, quietly reading. And they look up at you, say, "Oh, good morning, Agent Vellum."
Good morning. What is it that you're reading, if I might ask?
Oh, fluff, just fiction, I'm afraid. Nasty habit, frankly, but sometimes I indulge myself.
Everyone enjoys a good story.
Right. Did you sleep well? Did you find our room accommodating?
Yes, it was quite nice. I thank you again for letting us stay here, despite Jack's assumptions.
Right. Well, you know, Jack's only been a sentient being for 20 years now, still practically a child, and doesn't really know decency, niceties. I'm used to it. So how is Felspar? How's Merrim doing? Just in general, like, do you work together much?
We do not tend to work closely together. I'm usually in the office, while Felspar is usually out in the field. Occasionally, we do have correspondence on cases. Yesterday was a rough day, for sure. We ran into a couple hiccups along the way, and it does seem like I might be part of the problem, and I'm not sure what I can do to make this easier on him. I don't know.
Problem in what way?
To have less desirable blood.
This is practically the first time I'm out in the field, and we already ran into a couple scrapes yesterday. Seemed to be directed towards me, and it certainly makes me a little worried for myself, sure, but also worried for him if he's trying to protect me and he gets hurt. And also, the whole business here, I understand that there's a lot of complicated feelings for everyone involved, whether it's me being an outsider or Felspar not having returned home in about a decade, or missing relatives. You know, everyone's got something they're worried about, and I don't want to be a burden, but I don't know how I can help.
Well, it is a tricky situation, as you can ascertain, I'm sure. Clovenheart's a lovely city. I'm happy to retire here. I'm not altered, personally, but it's a nice refuge nonetheless. And as you know, though, it is not really welcoming of outsiders. Most people who live here were born here, or related to someone who was. Diamond's visiting, but no one was going to turn them away.
Diamond's in town.
Yes. They're playing a show tonight, I believe.
We ran into Sekitan on the train, and they had a message they wanted to give Diamond, I believe.
No, Diamond invited Sekitan to
Cloven Heart. I remember this. Vellum is being a little bit secretive.
Circumspect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jasper sort of nods, goes, interesting, I suppose. I don't really keep up with that stuff. I didn't think they were working together anymore. It doesn't matter. But I will say, maybe some comfort or use to you. Everyone in this town knows each other to some degree, but Merum had a habit of hanging around me in our youth. I think that he may have fancied me. And, you know, I left this town before he did to go study at Arabella's magic school. But while I was here, he always had a great restlessness to get out. He did not like Cloven Heart, which is an unusual disposition towards the town, I suppose. Most people are fond of it. That's not a problem, you know. You feel comfortable, or if you're comfortable, that's fine. But I don't think he was going to be thrilled to be back here. Under any circumstances, is probably least of all, he's this one. And, as I mentioned before, government influence is not going to be great. Ever since Morpholomew got deposed, killed, people don't trust Altered. Least of all the government. You know, back when magic was a thing, Morpholomew could control most Altered completely. They were his puppets, right? And people are still wary of that thing happening again. And people are quick to jump around Altered. Mostly people who work in law enforcement, so people are going to be wary of you. I think that it's good that you're here. I think figuring out why cops turned to stone is great, and giving Anya some peace of mind for her brother would be positive. But, you know, it's a stressful situation, and I just think being there to support Felspar, Merum, would be good. That's really all I can offer. I haven't seen him in 20 years.
If this were a Telltale game, Vellum will remember this. It would pop up on screen.
What is a TTRPG but a Telltale game, frankly?
I think Vellum will probably stay downstairs for a little while longer, maybe pull out a notebook to write some things down, some notes, ideas, I don't know. I think he will go back upstairs and try to start laying out the TM radio and see if he can get some of the water out of the works. But before he goes up, he's going to get a couple cups to take with him. He's going to get a cup of coffee and a cup of tea and bring them both to Felspar.
You know that this means that the next day you have to bring 3 cups.
Of course.
Jasper is definitely a tea person. You have to go digging for the coffee, but you do find it. You return to the room. Go ahead and flip another engineering roll. Intelligence engineering to try to poke at this thing. This is your first engineering of a new day, so you do get +1.
Got a queen of hearts. Queen of diamonds. An ace. Okay.
Was that a queen of hearts?
Yeah, we got 2 successes and a crit.
Okay, so that's going to be 5 successes. Yeah, that's right. That's math.
Math.
Okay, yeah, you're able to get a better look at it now. Obviously, you were not in the best state of mind last time you took a look at this thing, so now you're more collected, fresh. It's definitely salvageable. It seems to have dried some. Some parts are damaged, but if you could get replacements for those, it would be pretty easy fix, you think? And it was mentioned that Josepha owns some kind of shop. Maybe they could help you out. She could help you out. But yeah, it's definitely fixable. Like pretty easy fix. If you get the parts, you won't have to flip or anything. You'll just be able to fix it.
Okay.
Spar starts to wake up when Vel comes back in the room. And so he watches Vel like take this mystery thing apart. And presumably at some point Vel has noticed and has given him some liquids.
Yeah, he hears Spar stirring, and he turns over his back and says, I wasn't sure if you wanted coffee or tea, so I brought both. And then
Thank you.
Continues to fiddle. Not literally, he doesn't have a fiddle with him.
We could get you one.
We could get me one.
Yeah, so Sparrow stood up and drink his tea as he watches Vel. What's that you got there?
Oh, it's a prototype. that my uncle wanted me to test out and thought it might be helpful. It did get a bit of water in it yesterday, so it may not be operational today, but maybe after it's dried out and a couple things are replaced, it might do some good. The idea is that it should help pinpoint magic, if Ela is remembering correctly.
No, it has the ability to recreate the effects of magic.
Oh, okay.
So you can like use it to like cast spells and shit. Just as a reminder, Gray also gave you the blueprints to build a radio tower that would be able to help you learn more about the magic in the area. But the TM radio itself is actually uses radio waves to recreate the effects of spells. So you could like fucking cast a fireball at someone with this radio.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm writing that down on my notes, so I have that better. Okay. He'll explain. I don't think he sees a reason to hold it back, especially if it's something that might be useful in a fight. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want Felspar to be completely caught off guard with it, so.
You want more of the fighter before you cast Fireball.
Yeah.
Yes, huh. Doesn't have too much to say about it. Not sure he likes it, but not sure he doesn't, you know. It's fine.
It is just a prototype, so I don't know how well it'll actually work, but you know, it could be useful, I suppose.
When Vel is done tinkering and puts things to the side. And Spars is having this conversation sitting up in bed. Like he hasn't gotten all the way up yet. Mm. But he has moved on to his cup of coffee. And he will look at Vel and say, so, your blood? Is it going to stay in your body today?
My plans for today is to, yes, keep all of my blood within my body.
Good. Good. If we can keep that deal, then there are a couple things I do want to check out before we leave.
Okay.
And then we'll go back to Cindershore, and then back to Vasanatura, and then possibly to wherever Jack is. And sort this out. Out of character, this is the thing where Spar's like, yeah, no, we'll just do like one quick. Well, I just want to like stop by Anya's and take some notes, and then we'll be on our way.
Yeah, totally.
That's not. No, they're staying in Clovenheart. That's not. Yeah. But Spar thinks he's just going to investigate a little bit, just a little bit.
We're already here. You might as well investigate a little bit.
Yeah, well, his ex's little brother slash sometime friend, kind of, his person who he feels responsible for is missing.
Mm-hmm. Vellum will nod and I guess agree. Sounds fine to me.
What do you think we should do first? We have the wheat turned to stone. We have the missing person. And then there are a couple people we could ask to see if something is wrong with you.
Well, I guess it depends on how we want to go about the day. The missing person seems maybe a bit more of a pressing concern, but I understand that may not be the job where we were assigned to do while we are here.
It might be. I mean, what in Clovenheart isn't thaumaturgic, really?
Is a fair point.
And just a reminder, it was noted that this appearance and the things turning to stone happened on the same night. So, like,
they might be connected.
Maybe. Might not be.
Anything's possible. Oh, and we should also talk to Diamond about Sekitan.
Yes. I think that would be a good idea. How early is it? Should we do crops first? That way people have time to have their coffee?
I don't know how long you've thought about being up, but I'm imagining it's like 7:30 or 8 now. And in a town like this, like, that's not too early, I don't think.
Yeah. Spar will get up and start getting dressed in whatever he can salvage out of Jasper's dad's clothes.
What do you think that is?
So he's got to be shorter and stockier. Mm-hmm. And so I think he definitely finds some trousers that he has to roll up.
Vellum sees this and, like, tisks and comes over and, like, kneels down and starts, like, doing it with a nice crease on it and, like, getting some safety pins out.
Love it. Love it.
Spar panics a little. This is like, he was unconscious while he was cuddling, and this is extremely intimate. And so he sort of freezes. What are you doing?
I know we are merely borrowing Jasper's father's clothing. However, I am of the opinion that we should keep it in good condition and also look the best that we can. And so it is much easier to get a straight line when someone else is doing the tailoring.
Okay. And so I imagine this is like Vel kneeling, so Spar sitting on the side of the bed, and Vel kneeling with one of Spar's feet on Vel's thigh.
I was picturing standing just because I think that might affect how the fabric lays, but sure. I do like the sitting as well. Either one works.
And then Spar's going to attempt to continue to dress himself, although now he's self-conscious about it because now he knows there are wrong choices. He didn't think there were wrong choices. And so he probably slept in an undershirt. And so he finds a button down that does not fit him well and does his best to sort of roll up the sleeves to sort of hide that it's way too long in the sleeve. And he's shooting glances over at Vel the whole time as he's doing it. And he finds a pair of suspenders.
Good.
It's like, you know, brown pants, brown suspenders.
White shirt.
White shirt. This is probably...
Yeah.
Okay.
Tie.
No.
No tie.
No tie.
I think Vellum will leave the shirt to him because he noticed that Spar felt a little awkward about that. Maybe Vellum overstepped social cues. But he's still learning those. he's not usually traveling with other people, so... Or traveling.
And then to finish, of course, is the sword and gun, which all sort of attach to the same complicated harness thing.
Great.
I think Vellum will kind of watch him putting the holster on and clear his throat a little bit and say, I know that we may not be working together long, but... I would appreciate any pointers you might be able to give me. And he pulls out the gun, that the little two-shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to successfully hit... Who was it that Vellum hit? Was it Cletus or the other one?
It was the person whose name you don't know.
I did manage to hit one of them yesterday, but... Some tips would be much appreciated.
Spar nods. Yeah. When we're back in Cindershore, I'll take you shooting.
Vellum will nod.
Spar appraises Vel and he nods. You did very well for yourself yesterday. Much better than I was expecting.
Vellum will chuckle a little bit. I appreciate that. I think I did better than I expected as well, all things considered.
Some performance enhancers were involved.
all right, so I think they're going to go to Anya's house first.
Okay. So, as you guys walk through that same hallway, Jasper is still there. And this would be, I mean, you guys both interact with elves. They're very long-lived. They're not hurried people, typically speaking. So, they just kind of relax. And so, it's not that odd that they're still just sitting in their chair reading. And
they're like lightly stoned all the time.
Right, exactly. And you actually, though, they're not reading. They're looking out their window with interest. And they don't really even pay you guys attention as you pass.
Spar stops to look out the window.
Okay. Outside the window is quite a scene. You maybe don't realize what is being looked at first because it's a lot, you know. Most of the living quarters in town are outside the window. Mm-hmm. But off to the side where the local well is for the north part of town, there are two people arguing. And this definitely catches your eye. Because one of the people is Diamond, They are an elf with purple hair that's like, looks kind of like fire, like it goes up like that, and with red tips at the end. And, I mean, you don't see all the details from this far, but they're very nicely dressed, and they have, a little mustache that's lightly curled, but otherwise they look pretty femme. And, yeah, they're one of the people arguing. And the other person is Anya.
Oh.
Which, this is pretty out of character for Anya, because this is, like, a shouting match in public, which is, like, not something Anya would normally get involved in. So, that's pretty weird. If you want to flip something, like, intelligence empathy to try to get like a better read of the situation, you can, but you don't have to.
How about wit empathy for sure. Like assessing an ongoing situation?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so that's 8 plus 1 for being healthy is 9.
Nice.
Oh, and I get an extra for knowing either both of their names.
Yeah, perfect.
So that's 10, which evidently I'm gonna need. 4, 5. Okay, that is one joker and one success.
Wow. 10 cards?
Wow.
10 cards.
Beautiful. Well, you burned a lot of useless cards anyway.
Yeah.
And a joker. So here's what you get for a joker. So first of all, is Vellum looking out the window too?
If Spar is, then Vellum probably decided to look over too.
Okay. Well, look at that. So you just see Diamond and then like a dark-skinned halfling that you don't know arguing with Diamond. Spar, I'll say you get this much. You can't exactly read lips from this far, but you get the sense that Anya is the aggressor in the situation, and Diamond is just, like, annoyed and trying to get away from Anya.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the joker, which is that, so you know that, well, Anya is unusually prescient? Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
She has, basically, clairvoyance to a degree. And she turns in your direction, and Vellum probably a surprise. Anya has no eyes or nose. Their face is otherwise a normal halfling face, but they have no eyes or nose. Cool. She has no eyes or nose. So she looks in your direction, but obviously doesn't see anything. And Diamond also takes a glance at the window and sees the three of you, kind of gawking at their fight. And then sort of puts up a hand and just like walks away from the scene once they realize that it's sort of like really making a scene.
Should we take this time to tell Diamond about Sekitan?
Yeah, we may as well do that first and maybe see what that fight was about.
Okay.
So we are going to try to intercept Diamond.
Okay. Yeah, if you're quick, that's easy enough to do. They're heading back to the houses in that area, so clearly this seems like they're maybe staying around there.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of on the edge of the town where the wheat fields begin, and you catch up to them, and they turn to see you because I mean it's kind of obvious that you're trying to approach them,
mm-hmm.
And they kind of look you up and down. Are your suit badges like visible?
I think Spar's is on his belt.
Kind of what I meant.
So it's sort of on a hip. So I think usually it would be under a suit jacket, but he doesn't have a suit jacket that fits. So he's kind of rocking Hobbit core.
Love it.
With a gun.
I think Vellum probably has his in a suit jacket, but he'll pull his out if needed.
Okay. So Diamond sort of glances down at Spar's badge and then meets you each at the eye, one after the other, and says, "Can I help you?"
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. I'm Agent Felspar. This is Agent Vellum. We just came into town yesterday, and on the train from Vasa Natura to Cindershore, we ran into Sekitan, who was looking for you, I think. My, what's it? Not co-worker.
Colleague?
Colleague.
Colleague, thank you, yes. My colleague was the one who spoke with them.
So they look at and say, "Yo, you spoke with Sekitan." "Yeah, I sent her a letter to meet me here. Sent them a letter to meet me here. I was hoping they would maybe follow someone into town, but I guess that's not the case."
"Well, I understand that Clovenheart is a refuge that is purposely kept hidden, and it did not feel like a decision I should make whether or not to show them the way in, so to speak."
"Well, that's kind of annoying. We were supposed to have a show tonight, and they were going to be my fellow act that we were going to perform together for the first time in a while. Well, yes?
Typically, when you invite someone to Clovenheart, you meet them at Cindershore, or the nearest drop-off point. Is there a reason that you didn't go there to bring them here yourself?
I'm not in the mood for publicity right now, being in public. It's frustrating when you're not in the mood for it, and it's hard to go anywhere without being recognized, frankly.
You, I'm sure, could have asked somebody.
That's fair. Look, it doesn't matter. I can go collect them.
While we have you here, is everything all right? We noticed there seemed to be some conflict over by the well.
Yes. I was just getting a drink of water. I'm thirsty. Just woke up. And Little Miss Blind Justice decided that I am a murderer or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
Okay.
And she's accusing me of something. It's kind of unclear. There were several accusations thrown at me.
All right. Sorry to hear that. Thank you very much for your time. Agent Vellum, was there anything else that you wanted to ask while Diamond is so graciously lending us some of their time?
Ela can't think of anything.
Okay.
Is there anything we can or should flip that would be sort of like a...
Oh, sure.
An insight check?
Yeah, that's
check?
Empathy. Wit or intelligence and empathy.
Okay.
I just want you to know, I'm almost never going to call for those. That's like a thing mm-hmm. you have to like declare, but you did, so it's fine. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. I'll flip wit empathy, which is 8. Plus 1 for being healthy is 9.
Okay. Because I feel like calling for an insight check is like, this person's suspicious. You know what I mean? As opposed to that being a conclusion
right,
you
right.
jump to.
a lot. Okay. That is a jack and ace, a queen, not hearts, and 2 more aces. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes. Nice.
Okay, so yeah, I'll give you the things you've kind of read throughout this conversation for 5. One is they're clearly very annoyed that Second Hand's not here, and they're kind of like, they're just, first of all, they're just annoyed in general because of what just happened. So they're like trying not to like go off on you guys, and
right.
So they've got a lot of anger underneath the surface, and they're definitely withholding something. Like, mm-hmm. It's not clear exactly what, but they're pretty defensive about the encounter with Anya, so it could have to do with that, but you're not sure.
This is not necessarily something that Vellum would say, like, right now in the moment, but I think that he believes it is odd that if Sikitan was supposed to be, like, the opening for Diamond, or that they were going to perform together, you know, it really has been a while. It seems like it should be something important that maybe... it'd have been a bit more organized than this.
Yeah. But you don't say that?
No, not right now in front of Diamond. Okay. I don't want to accuse Diamond while they're already feeling tense and apprehensive.
Okay.
But we can file that away for the next time Spar and Vel like compare notes.
Yeah.
Okay. So does anyone say anything to Diamond or just let them go?
I'll tell Diamond. My sister's a big fan.
They nod and say, how sweet. Do you want me to sign something?
You know, she would love that. And he, like, all he has is, like, a notepad for, you know, taking investigative notes on. But he'll pass it to them. Her name is Sorrel, 1R, 1L.
They nod, and they're up to Sorrel. And thanks for being a fan, and, like, a little heart, and a little diamond. And then signs their name.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a waterlogged notebook, but it's dry
sure.
now. It's just,
yeah.
it does that, you know, when water, when paper's been wet and then
right.
dried and it's
definitely,
wavy.
Definitely
and,
when
like,
they first checked it, they're like, whoa. And then, like, they realize, okay, it's fine. And, yeah. Yeah. Also, I'll say, so, I think I mentioned this before when we were talking about the history of Diamond, but Diamond is, like, several hundred years old. In elf terms, that means they look about, probably, like, in their 40s if they were a human. So, yeah. Anyway, they sign that and say, well... anyone could guess while you're here. I wish you luck, and if I can help you at all, let me know. And they sort of enter pretty ramshackle home, honestly, that they're staying in.
Spar will look at Vel and say, that was weird, right?
Oh, definitely. Especially considering that they haven't performed together in so long, to have the plans, ? Not quite be so solidified for something that's happening tonight.
You know, Joaquin is supposed to help with the AV. Maybe we could... I was going to say maybe you could, because I don't really want to go back, but then that actually might be worse. Pin in that. Maybe one or more of us can check in with him today. And at this point, like, Spar still hasn't cottoned on to the fact that his to-do list is now a good 8 hours long.
The good news, at least, is that Sekitan is in Cindershore, so they're not far. Maybe they can... Maybe Diamond can get it all straightened out. I don't know.
The journey should only be an hour in each direction. And I'm sure anybody in the town would be happy to go collect Sekitan for them. Onward to an even more awkward encounter?
Sounds great.
Wonderful. He'll tuck his waterlogged notebook in his back pocket and the pen in his breast pocket.
That scene was certainly funny and awkward for Spar, probably. Thank you for listening to episode 5 of Three of Hearts. As always, I'm your GM, Jordan Quiverns. You can find me online at Jordan Quiverns if that's a thing you desire to do. My spelling and link to my Twitter is in the description. Oh yeah, I'm calling myself a wingman now, not a GM. It's a new thing I'm trying, but I didn't do that. So I guess I'm not trying very hard.
You did it on the last one.
I did. Because, you know, I'm trying to hook up Vellum and Spar. That's my goal. Or maybe I'm trying to tear them apart, and I'm a secret evil wingman. Only time will tell.
A man wing.
A double agent wingman.
A double agent wingman.
Because there's two agent Vellums.
A woman fin?
Yeah.
Is that the opposite of a wing is a fin?
Yeah.
Okay.
A woman tail?
Yes.
Fem tails.
A tail woman.
A tail wing.
Duck tails.
Anyway.
You can tell that we're definitely recording this at a time we're all lucid.
We definitely haven't been recording for like 3 hours.
Definitely not.
Well, an hour of that was just me and Etsy talking about pigs. This is all staying in. Okay, so anyways, we play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can find out more about Space Kings online at spacekings.space. That's it? Oh, my pronouns are they, them. I'm supposed to say that, too. Pronouns are they, them. Despite the fact that I was just earlier today wearing a tie that said she, her, because I play by no man's rules. On to Ela.
All the pronouns are now Jordan's. Mm-hmm. They control now, all pronouns.
If you call me he, I will kill you in public.
Okay, yes.
Regardless of where you call me it.
Yes.
I'll drag you out to the streets. All right, Ela, go ahead.
That's fair and valid. All of the music in the show is by Louis Zong, who you can find at Everyday Louis on Twitter or their website, louiszong.com. The songs we used include Dogtective for the intro, At Last a Piano for the midtro, and Ghost Plus Guest for the outro. You can find me, Ela Alexi, at Ela Alexi on Twitter and most other social platforms. My pronouns are they or he, and I play Agent Vellum, whose pronouns are also they and he.
All right. I'm going to mix up the order and at the top say, hi, this is Essay.
That makes sense. I don't know why I didn't do it that way.
My pronouns are she, her. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him. You can find me online at SAHex, which I'm sure Jordan will put in the description unless I make them mad enough that they don't and decide to make me unsearchable. You can find the pod on primarily Twitter, also Instagram at 3HeartsCast, 3 spelled out, T-H-R-E-E. We'd super appreciate it if you follow us on social media, tell your friends, tell your enemies.
Tell your frenemies.
Tell your frenemies. Definitely tell your frenemies.
Tell your enemies that are now your lovers.
Yeah. Tell your lovers that are now your enemies. Podcasts live or die by word of mouth. And so if you would like us to not all die in public, tell your friends.
Mm-hmm. But don't call me he in the process because then
you can find... once you found us on social media and told all of your friends, if you still want us to continue to live, you can find us on Patreon at the same handle, which is still Three Hearts Cast, T-H-R-E-E. And that will get you neat stuff like us cracking slightly off-color jokes about each other and us playing other games. And Tatiana's fanfic, Old Wounds Run Deep, which you may or may not recall from episode
two. Now it's been promised that you're really doing that.
Oh, I'm really doing it. I've got a whole it's
let me know when it's ready and I'll start working on the art for it.
Perfect.
I'm gonna die.
And so you should give us some money for that. You can give us a little bit of money, you can give us a lot of bit of money. Either way, you'll get all the same stuff because we're socialists and communists and anarchists and other anti-capitalists on this pod. Mm-hmm. So money for extras, but only if you want to and can. Either way, we love you as long as you tell your enemy or friend or frenemy or lover or uncle or dog about this podcast.
Or cat.
Trying to hit the dog market. That's why we have that intro. That's why we're trying to hit the dog market.
Dog tactic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and we'll catch you next time. Does Velen know this is Spar's ex-girlfriend?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Second in as many days.
I think Jasper mentioned something about Anya, or...
I think they mentioned Anya, but I don't think they mentioned the connection between Spar and Anya.
Right.
Okay, so I think you can ascertain from things you've heard that Anya is Kurt's sister, and Kurt's the one who's gone missing, but that's all you really know.
And possibly overheard Spar talking to Hilda yesterday about Anya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not knowing
the connection
right, there, right. But knowing there's some
they
connection.
They know each other. But in a town this size, you can assume Spar knows most people. Yeah, I didn't really say this, but Clovenheart has a population of like 250. Like, it's pretty small. So anyway, as you are heading, I guess, through the cornfield is the fastest way to the watermill where Anya lives.
Assuming that there's a path that's smooth enough. If not, we'll go around.
Yeah, there is. And actually, as you are coming to the cornfield, you see Zochitl. And this time his wheelchair is actually being pushed by Joaquin. And they are entering the cornfield.
That sounds like fun, in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how crop circles are?
Maybe. And could either of you roll some kind of perception thing? Intelligence or wit in investigation?
I can, but I did the last flip, so Ela, do you want to?
Sure, I will try my luck. Okay, intelligence is 4, investigation is 2, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. Got an ace and a king, and that's
okay,
it.
Okay, that's enough. If you kind of watch them go a little bit, you notice actually that there's actually like 1 or 2 proper homes in the, or there's, sorry, there's a windmill and 1 home in the fields. But there's also, you see, some kind of, like, compound? It's hard to tell from this distance, but you can see, like, there's some kind of structure that doesn't quite go above the corn, so you can't, like, tell what it is. But there's something that they're walking towards.
Is this something that would have been there when Spar was there? Okay.
They're walking towards something, but we can't see what it is.
Yeah, it's some kind of, like, a wall. You see, like, a wall, but you don't know what it belongs to. It doesn't go above the cornfield.
I think Velum will nod his head at them and mention to Spar, what's that way?
I don't know. Must be new. When I was here, it was just corn.
Maybe it's a stage for Diamond.
I mean, it's in the corn field. Surely they'd just be at the bandstand, right?
That would make more sense.
Well, we'll put it on the list.
Okay.
No bucket. And makes a note. Cornfield, ? Joaquin and Xochi, ? Wall, ?
All right. So you guys continue over to the watermill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a sizable watermill along the river that you guys came in, where there's also a place where several boats are tied up to the river. You recognize your family's kayak, Felspar.
Mm-hmm.
as one of them, and sitting on a rocking chair outside on like the kind of the porch of the watermill is Anya. Vellum, probably not good. She's got a hard face to read, but Spar can kind of read her mouth a little bit enough to know that like perturbed. But you know, they turn a knowing head towards you guys as you approach. Like, they clearly know that you're there. She knows you're there, and she greets the two of you as you get closer and just says, "Hello, agents." And then specifically to Spar, she says, "Should I call you Merim or Agent Felspar?"
Either is fine. Whatever you're most comfortable with.
Agent Felspar.
He flinches.
I think Vellum flinches too. Ouch.
Anya, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. It is frustrating. I can see many things that aren't there, but I haven't the faintest clue. What's happened?
Is there anything you can tell us about the night Kurt went missing?
Yeah, let me... Can I collect myself a moment? I wasn't expecting
him. Yeah, of course.
Interrogation so soon.
Take all the time you need.
Let's go inside. She leads you guys inside her home. It's got, like, a lot of Chotskys everywhere. Some snow globes. There's some wrestling trophies, which you, Spar, would know belong to Kurt, who was a wrestler in Boston Natura.
Is there any of his merch?
There's a poster that features him. He's, you know, a fellow dark-skinned halfling. But in his wrestling outfit, it's very, like, fishy aesthetic. Well, because he himself is, like, amphibious. And, like, he was born altered. And he has, like a little anglerfish lantern. And that's his wrestler name is The Lantern.
Excellent.
So you see that. Anya takes a, well, Anya gestures to her sofa. It's like a love seat. And she says, "I have kombucha or water."
"I'm fine without, thank you."
"Also fine, thank you."
"Okay." She glances to Vellum and then back, well, doesn't glance, but turns her head towards Vellum and then back at Spar and says, did Agent Felspar tell you about me?"
No.
"Okay. I just mean that I know things that are not apparent to most people. I don't have visions exactly, but my intuition never fails me. I know, for example, that your name is Callan Vellum. So if I say things like that I shouldn't know, don't try not to be alarmed. But I try not to. I know it's okay. Impolite, but sometimes things slip out."
"Good to know."
"You obviously have questions about Kurt. Is that why you're here? Did someone call the two of you?"
"Out of character."
"Yeah."
She's talking about things that she knows that shouldn't necessarily be possible for her to know. And I think Vellum immediately is thinking back to when they were cuddling. So she could just have that kind of image in her head all of a sudden. There you go.
Spar is throughout this whole conversation, Spar is going to wait and see if Vellum is going to answer first before he starts talking. So it creates a couple of awkward silences, but Spar will clear his throat and say, "Strictly speaking, no, we weren't asked. Jack heard that things were happening here and sent us to do what we do, help keep people safe. I don't know if Kurt was what he was thinking of, or if it was the wheat turning to stone, or if there's any way those two could be related, or if it's some third thing."
I don't know that they're related. I don't see how, but I'm not the detective.
He does not say, but thinks that it's a shame because she would have been a great one.
Anya just says, "Thank you." I think for most people, she wouldn't make those kind of asides, but I think this far she doesn't.
She probably a little bit at least starts to fall back in the habit, right? Like they grew up together. They were extremely close in each other's pockets.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, I think when he sits on the love seat, he instead of like being upright detective mode, a little bit goes into like awkward gangling right. Teenage boy where like his hands are kind of between his knees and he's like, arch a little bit forward. Uh-huh. He looks like maybe he could have like a cup of juice in his hands, and that would be normal and regular.
She says, "I wish I knew more about the night that Kurt went missing. Here's what I know with certainty. Kurt was romantically involved with Diamond."
Spar's eyebrows go all the way up.
"They've been staying here the last few weeks, maybe a month or two at this point. In the last month or so, Kurt's been leaving in the night without saying anything, but again, you know, I know where he's going, and they deny any knowledge of his whereabouts, but the night he vanished, just like any other, I know he was going to see them, and they're not telling the truth. I know that you saw my scene this morning, unlike me, but I tried to have a civil conversation, and Diamond is obstinate, obtuse, infuriating. You know, I tell it like it is. Makes me frustrating when others do not. So, that's the situation. Beyond that, I'm afraid I don't know anything. I wish that I did. I've been asking people. No one I've talked to saw him that night, but I only talked to the usual. I haven't interrogated the whole town. Not really my place. Mayor Thorne is investigating. And when she says Mayor Thorne, Bar, you've never heard of this person. But there's no official investigation. You know, we don't have traditional law enforcement here. Obviously, people are doing their best, but no one really knows anything. And it's been a week, so I'm not hopeful. However, if you can help, and you need my help in any way, I'm happy to be of assistance, obviously."
"Of course, yeah, thank you." This is going to sound like a non sequitur. Do you know anything about Diamond's performance tonight?"
"Not really. They've been staying in Clovenheart to keep a low profile. The boys are, during them, a concert, convince Diamond to perform before they leave town. They've got a movie shoot, I guess, somewhere. And they're going to leave. So, yeah, a goodbye concert, I guess. They have mentioned that their former companion, Sekatan, will be performing with them."
"Can you think of any reason why they would tell Sekitan to come without giving them an escort? It's not like they could just arrive in Clovenheart without someone to show them the way."
"It could have skipped their mind. I don't know, frankly. I can guess. They've been very busy since they've been in Clovenheart. They've been socializing quite a bit. They've made quite a few friends in town. Jasper among them. Kurt, obviously. Mayor Thorne. Pretty much anyone who attends Bridge. I mean, I attend Bridge, but I'm not interested in Diamond."
Ela, is there anything that you want to ask?
Out of character, remind Ela what Bridge is. Do we know?
We don't know. Okay. Nope.
Spar probably knows the name, but not details.
I think Vellum will look in between Spar and Anya and ask if it might be possible to talk to Mayor Thorne, if Anya thinks that that would be a viable thing they could do.
"Yeah, he's very friendly. I'm sure he remembers Felspar. I don't see why it'd be a problem."
Spar's visibly confused by that.
Anya can see that, and is like, what's the matter?"
"I didn't recognize Mayor Thorne's name. What's his first name?"
"Governor."
"Mayor Governor Thorne?"
"Yeah, it's a coincidence, to be sure."
"Oh my god.
I have the sudden urge to tell someone named Jordan to go to hell, but that might be unrelated to this case."
Says, "Yeah, they're the mayor. They have been for as long as I remember. Are you well?"
It remains to be seen. Hang on. Isn't Governor Thorne the governor of
Vasa Natura?
Yeah.
Yeah, but her name, are you asking Jordan?
Yes.
Okay, yes, but her name is not literally Governor Thorne. She is just a woman whose last name is Thorne, who is the governor of Vasa Natura. And the mayor of Clovenheart is named Governor Thorne.
This is very confusing.
I know.
So this is also a question to Jordan. Is this a bit, or is it... Does it matter in some way?
It's a bit,
okay.
I mean, the fact that you don't remember him is weird, but the name thing is just Jordan being silly.
Okay. Spar will say, I It just must have slipped my mind. Any relation to the governor of Asa Natura?
No. No.
Just a coincidence.
It's weird.
Does one of them spell their name with an E on the end?
Yeah. Does Vellum ask that, or is it Ela asking?
I think Vellum will ask. Why not?
Yes. Governor, Mayor Governor Thorne has an E on the end of his name.
Okay. That'll help.
Anya, do you know, has Diamond been staying with someone? Where are they staying?
They were staying with Jasper, and now they're not.
When did they stop staying with Jasper?
I'm sorry. I try not to be nosy, because it's too sure. easy for me to be nosy.
Of course. Of course.
If you guys don't have more immediate questions for Anya, Anya's actually going to ask Vellum if she can talk to Agent Feldspar in private.
That is fine with me, if that's okay with Agent Feldspar.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Just stay within shouting distance and shout if
yeah.
Anyone, yeah.
yeah. Anya has kind of a wry smile and says, "Oh, I assumed it was your safety you were fearing for."
Essay would have stopped herself from saying this, but I don't know that Spar would. So Spar says, "Yeah, no, Vella's afraid on my behalf, but I'm afraid on his." So it sort of it all balances.
Once Vellum's out of the room, Anya like waits for the sound of the door closing and says, "Look, I am not here to dredge up the past in any way, shape, or form. I want our relationship in terms of finding Kurt to be we're strangers at this point. However, you have had memory problems in the past. You don't remember Governor Thorne. That's odd."
You're sure he's always been mayor?
Always. He founded the town with your aunt. She named him mayor when Clovenheart was founded.
No, I would know. If he was a friend of Aunt Luna's, I'd know. Right?
I'm scared because I know you're not joking.
Well, can I ask you a favor? As an old friend?
Yes.
Two favors. I'm sorry. I owe you.
She likes at that.
Yeah. One, tell me if there are other things I'm forgetting.
Yes, I will.
And two, something's up with Vellum. I don't know what, and I don't know if he knows what, but we were attacked twice yesterday. If anything becomes clear to you, would you let me know?
Yes. If it's pertinent,
I don't know.
Look, our history aside, if it's pertinent to your safety or to this case, I will make it known.
Thank you. Is there anything else about Kurt that you didn't want to say in front of Agent Vellum?
Only this. He's like me, Miriam, in that if he gives someone his body, it's because they already have his heart. Diamond claims to know nothing of Kurt, but if they were intimate, as I suspect they were, there has to be something going on there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It doesn't... Something's wrong there. I don't know what.
Me neither. I'm going to try to avoid them, to keep myself calm, and to avoid any more embarrassing scenes. So if you could follow up on that aspect, that would be probably a good place to start. Not that I'm telling you how to do your job. If you told me how to do my job, I'd rip your tongue out.
Well, yes, but you see, you're smart, and I'm an idiot, so... I'll always take tips.
She nods.